It is a pleasure to worship again with all of you, and it is wonderful to be here to worship together. Amen. The last year, I was reading several times through the book of Acts, and I was trying to find the common elements that we find in the church of the first century. Those elements that were vital to the growth, to the development of the first congregations of the first church. And there are at least four fundamental elements. The first one, of course, is the prayer. The second one was the study of the scriptures. And the third one was evangelizing, sharing the good news of salvation. But the fourth one was worship, the gathering of God's people. So today, I want to share with you about worship, about vibrant worship. So let us start with this question. What do we mean by worship? What is it, worship? If someone comes to you and asks, what is worship? What would you say worship is? Think of my word, of my sermon today as a Bible study, okay? So what is worship for you? In the Old Testament, worship is suggested as reverence, as acknowledging God as power and sovereign. But the word itself, worship, the root of that word is like someone who bowed down and kissed the feet of the one who is in front. Worship is to bow down in reverence, acknowledging someone who has done great things for us. So, in the same idea, what is vibrant worship then? You know, most of us, we are looking for a good worship, a good vibrant worship, a worship that moves us from one place to another. Probably, you know, when I ask people about worship, most people will say, well, vibrant worship is that worship that had such a good music. Sometimes people think that way. Sometimes people will say, well, worship is when, a vibrant worship is when you feel, you know, the presence of God. And feeling is the key here. And some people will say, well, you know, a vibrant worship is that kind of worship that made me think about who God is. Especially for us Reformed people, we are that way. You know, we want a good exposition of the Word of God, good themes, deep into the Scriptures. And that is okay too. Sometimes people would think of a vibrant worship as a worship where there is a lot of people. They don't care about the music or the message or everything else, but who was there worshiping with me? If there is one or two, that is not a vibrant worship. They talk about the people that got together. So, what do you think of a vibrant worship? I want to share with you what Paul has in mind about a vibrant worship. It's based on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's only verses 1 and 2. Así que, hermanos míos. Ah, no, that's the other version. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, once again, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to this, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to taste and to approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Vibrant worship starts with the right knowledge of what God has done for us. A vibrant worship has to start right there, in the celebration of God's mercy. It's an invitation to brothers and sisters. Paul is saying, in Spanish it's a different way. It says like this: Os ruego por las misericordias de Dios. It's not just I urge you. I demand you to think about God's mercies for you. That is the perspective. It's not that we come to worship out of any other idea of God, but the Apostle is saying, think about God's mercies for you. And I can ask you, where did you saw God's mercies during this week in your life that you are here today? Because this is what prompts us to come and celebrate and honor our Lord. This is what brings us to worship together. God's mercies. But a little more practical. Where do you saw the mercies of God during this week? Did you experience God's mercies? The scripture says that they are new every day. Every day. And I am sure that you experience the mercies of God. And probably Paul is saying this to the Romans just to remind them where they were before coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is God's mercy who encourage us to celebrate God Himself. Sometimes we don't have an idea of this God that we worship. Sometimes we don't recollect His mercies. Sometimes we are not aware of what he is doing or what He has done for us. And Paul is saying, think about God's mercies. Think about how God has shown his love to you. I urge you, I command you to think in God's mercies before coming to worship. You see, the inspiration, the motivation, the encouragement to worship God, to bow before him, must be the knowledge that we have about what he has done for us. Think about the forgiveness of our own sins. Think about persevering during this year, of this month, of this last week. Think about his provision, his mercies are new every day. And he goes a little bit further. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So, worship is not only a celebration of God's mercy, but also is an offering of God's people. It's a sacrifice before the Lord. I like this idea of Paul. Worship is not just coming together, it's offering something to God. It's the offering of our own lives to him. Paul is saying, offer your bodies in a living sacrifice. Both ideas, offering and sacrifice, contains the same idea there. Our worship is true in the measure that we offer ourselves to the Lord. This worship is what God is asking us to offer: living and holy sacrifices to him. Of course, Paul is having that idea of the Old Testament, when the lamb was sacrificed and the blood just to take away the sin of the world. But our lamb, the true lamb of God, has offered his own life so we can have eternal life. The key element here is the offering. The offering. You see, true sacrifice or true worship is true sacrifice, is true offering. It is the attitude of recognizing that God has power, that God is sovereign, that God is the provider, and in the same way, everything that is mine belongs to him. Because of his grace is that we have whatever I have. It's that kind of offering that God is expecting. As a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It talks about our own bodies, yourself, as an offering to God. The body that once was instruments of sin, now by God's grace, renewed and transformed, has to be offering as a living sacrifice. Living in the measure that God lives in us now. Living in the measure that we have been transformed by the living power of God Almighty. Now we can offer our own bodies as a living sacrifice in worship. Paul is saying, this has to be holy. Your bodies has to be holy. Of course, in the background, the idea is you remember the Old Testament. Has to be a perfect lamb. 1 year old. Offer once a year to take away the sin. Now Paul is saying, you in the same way has to offer your life in sacrifice, living. But your life is, but you are alive not because of you, but because of Jesus himself. He is the one who gives you life. He is the one who makes you alive. He is the one who will give you eternal life. And this life must be holy. Holy and acceptable before God. Holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God. What a worship, isn't it? Not just in view of the mercies of God, but also in view of our own life as an offering to God. And then Paul ends in verses 2 saying, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, a vibrant worship is in view of the mercies of God, is an offering of God's people, but also is transforming. Worship implies a transformation. When you understand that you are before God, that you are coming to celebrate His mercies, that you are giving yourself in sacrifice, then something happens in your own mind. You start to comprehend. What is it that God wants? What is it that is pleasing to God? What is it that He demands? And of course, the Holy Spirit start leading you in the way we must go. And that is what transforms our own minds. The understanding of what we are doing and why we are doing what we do. And then we will be able to test and to approve what God will is. How many times we have been wondering, is this the will of God? That is the question so many times. Am I doing what God is asking me to do? And we wander everywhere. But it is in the middle of the celebration of God's people that our minds are transformed, are oriented, are guided, are led to really taste what God's will is. To approve by the prompt of the Holy Spirit in our own minds what God wants and expects from us. It's in worship. It's through worship that we are transformed. You see, once again, worship challenges us to really discover the mercies of God. It challenges us to offer Him what we are in sacrifice, as an offering. It's also challenging us to be transforming, to transform every time, to be better and newer to His glory. So, now what? What is a vibrant worship then? To start with the acknowledging what God has done for you. Think about of the man who is about to die. And the judge has the whole file right there in front of him. And he's saying, give me a good reason to save you from the secure death of you. This is the file of all your faults and errors and mistakes. And the prisoner, sir, says, I don't have any merit at all. I have done everything that is there. And then suddenly someone comes around and says, I will pay for it. You don't owe me anything. I will pay for everything. Think about the attitude of that man who is just being saved. Can you imagine the joy? Well, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. And that is what Paul is saying. In view of the mercies of God, I urge you to bring a true sacrifice, a true offering before God as your worship. You see, you are invited to remember God's mercies. You are invited to offer in sacrifice, in worship, your own life as an offering. And this is transforming. Every time that we come to worship, we are invited to be transformed to the glory of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being invited and encouraged to follow you. Help us to worship, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to remember what you have done. Help us to remember that we are offerings to you, and transform our hearts so we can please, Lord, so we can honor you as our Lord. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.